of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. 200 men of the tribe of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Last week, wise women. Tonight, men of understanding. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Father, we thank you that the book from which we've read tonight is a book that is alive. It is your book. Thou hast told us that you've exalted your word above your name, and thou dost know the preciousness of it to us who read it, who have treasured it over the years. Thou dost know that its value has not diminished, but as we had an inkling at the first, when our life in Christ began, so, Father, we are certain beyond doubt that this is indeed the Word of God now. We thank you for every challenge, every contradiction, every attack made upon it and stated against it. And yet, Father, we have found all of these things to be false and of the enemy, and the Word of God is true, and all of them have perished. We thank you, our Father, that the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. And thy Son said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. And we thank you that as this morning we read from his words, so tonight we can read the words of those who lived long before him. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And that is why we pray now, Father, that the words spoken might be profitable words, that there may be a challenge to us, that there may be an enlightenment, that we also may become men of understanding. As we trust last week, the women listened and became wise women in those spheres in which their wisdom could be manifested. So help us this night, we pray. You know our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as you had promised, if we confess. And we do confess, and our Father, we pray that thy Spirit, who works upon the heart, shall make the living Word of God alive in the hearts of those who hear. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. This verse is almost unbelievable, that there existed at one time 200 men who had an understanding of the times to know what the people of God should do. Do you think that many exist today? Let me ask you this. If you wanted answers to your questions, if you had problems in your life, is Durham filled with wise men to whom you could go? I remember as a young boy, I thank God for this, that in the meeting in Raleigh, when I was just growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, when someone would come and challenge me about a question that was difficult and I was unable to get the answer, I would have a request that he give me a little time, and then I would go down to the pharmacy where Brother Jimmy Chapel worked, and I would lay the question before him. And even where he worked, he had his Bible, and he could open that Bible and give the answer. And the next time I saw that friend, I would say, about that question you were asking. So, I knew one wise man, but the sad thing is this. Years and years ago, trying to learn, I would read a difficult scripture and go and speak to some full-time brother, one who had a reputation, and ask him about the difficulty in this portion of Scripture, and he did not even know that a difficulty existed. And to save embarrassment, I would move away from the question and go on to something else. And this is what I found among the people of God today. Faithful man, good man, but evidently there is no unanimity among them as to understanding what the people of God ought to do. Now that's sad. To whom am I going to go? If I want answers, if you want answers, you will come and ask me. But to whom am I going to go? Somebody has to get an answer from God and from the Scriptures. But at this time, here were 200 men, and they were all from the tribe of Issachar. That is remarkable. Some tribes produce valiant warriors, and other tribes, like Issachar, produced men of understanding. And do you realize that not long ago, in my youth as a Christian, the assemblies were known to possess men of understanding, and those round about, if they wanted an answer, they would come and refer personally to those men among the assemblies or to their writings, and they would find the answers. They would receive understanding as to what to do according to the time. Now, what happens is this, that the assemblies are running to other men instead of they're inviting us to speak to them. What happens is that we have to invite those that do not gather with us to get understanding for ourselves. Do you not see that something is wrong? We are they who used to be able to say, we are like Aquila and Priscilla. We take those round about and we bring them to us and we teach them the way of God more perfectly. But do you think we are able to say that today? There is something wrong when we who once had understanding now seek understanding from others. So I say, I marvel at this one scripture that speaks about 200 men who had an understanding of the times to know what Israel, the people of God, ought to do. This was at this time. It is not always that way. On occasion, you have many fine prophets in Israel. At other times, it says the word of God was rare in those days. And so it is with our church. So it is among the people of God today. But I think that we should be ashamed, considering our heritage, that now we seek the assistance of others rather than being able to give assistance to those who do not follow us. Because there are those who do not follow us. John, in the gospel, went to the Savior and said, Master, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbade him, for he followeth not us. The Lord Jesus says, forbid him not, for no one can do a mighty work in my name and quickly speak evil of me. Notice, he said, do not forbid him. But the Savior did not find out how he does it and why he does the things the way he does. He never said that. They were following the Lord Jesus. And concerning that man, the Savior said, do not forbid him. And so I thank God for all those evangelists that are saving souls. Usually, they get them saved, and it used to be that the assemblies would give them teaching, and we would take them away from them and bring them into the assemblies. And so thank God for those that are able to get souls saved. We forbid them not. But there is something wrong if those who are casting out demons in Christ's name are doing things without following Christ. And in this instance, John and Peter and Andrew and James, they were following Christ. You cannot say that they were not following the right man, doing it the right way. Yet, here were some that did not follow them, and they were upset about it. The Lord Jesus had the words of life, and the disciples were around the Lord Jesus, and they thought it strange, And they did not have enough wisdom to know how to deal with this man who did not follow them. But the Savior did not say, go and get learning from him. They had the Lord Jesus himself. And so, at one time when we could say, we gather for the name of the Lord alone, we are distinct, we have wisdom, now we are not able to say that. May I tell you what a dear sister in her 80s told me not long ago? She'd been in the assembly perhaps 50 or more years. And she said, concerning her assembly, we have the best little independent Baptist church in town. Talking of an assembly like this. Why? Because this woman knew how it was 50 or 60 years ago, and she had seen what the men of understanding today had done, had changed it to, and she was able to perceive the change, but others were not able to perceive. And now, what has happened is this, that we see someone casting out demons, and we leave the Lord and go with them to learn how they cast out demons. How strange. Is Jesus, our Lord, not able to teach us how to cast out demons, how to preach, how to live? Must we go to those that are imperfectly following our Lord? Because he was doing things in the Lord's name, but he was not following the Lord. He knew a little of the Lord, but he did not know as much as the man John and the others who were following the Lord. And so is it not a shame today that we must go and learn from those who say, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, that speak those things, whereas in the past they would come and ask us to answer the question? This is how it should be. I have mentioned, and I will say this to make you smile, I had to go through the whole Old Testament to give you four references to wise women. I turned to one reference and found 200 wise men in one verse of Scripture. But turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, and this is how it should be. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and look at verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and ordinances, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the midst of the land whither you go in to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples that shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that hath a God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is, whensoever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that hath statutes and ordinances so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Can you imagine such a thing, that this nation, as imperfect as it is at one time, just as Canada, it was looked upon for its religion and its integrity, its godliness. But now, we need missionaries sent to the United States from other countries rather than sending missionaries to other countries from the United States. And it's an insult to the other nations to go and tell them how to live, and we are not able to care for our own nation. But listen, that is what the wisdom and understanding of all people. Not men to the exclusion of women. Not women to the exclusion of men. It says, this is your wisdom and understanding. It may be that of those four references I gave concerning the sisters, you say, I do not find it easy to fall into any category like that. The men of whom I speak, like Brother Jimmy in Raleigh, you may say, I have not that ability to help others. I do not have that understanding. Well, can you have this understanding? It says, this is your wisdom and your understanding that you keep and do the statutes that I command you. You have that much wisdom. To obey the teachings of our Savior, the Savior said, go therefore, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And that is your wisdom and understanding, to know all things that Christ has commanded and then to obey all these things that Christ commanded. I know that I have wisdom. Why? Because I'm doing what God told me to do. It says in 1 Timothy 4, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And you preach the word. You do not come with some pet controversy. You preach the word. And the Lord Jesus said, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs and feed my sheep. That is what is wisdom and understanding. To teach the word of God faithfully, and at the same time, your wisdom and understanding, as it is taught scripturally, soundly, is to obey the things that God commands in his word. And so you say, I'm not wise. If you have no gift like the ones that I read about concerning the women last week, but you obey the word of God, you have wisdom and understanding. And it is acknowledged by others round about you. It may be that some will ridicule you for your morality and integrity and righteousness, but there is a time when people will look upon you and congratulate you and say, there's no God so near when they call upon him. And it says this concerning the early church, that great fear fell upon them, and they had favor with all the people. Even though they were unsaved, the people were able to say, these are followers of Jesus. These are Christians. And they understood it. Why? Because they were filled with the Spirit of God, and they obeyed the word of God. And people looked at them, and they envied them, and many of them turned to the Lord. So, here are 200 men of understanding. What is their specific understanding? They had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. You understand that there are different times in the Bible? That there are different times? I'll give you a brief one. An easy one. The Lord Jesus said in the first part of his ministry, when you go forth, take nothing for your journey. Do not take extra shoes. Do not take money. Do not take a wallet. Just go. Preach the word. That was for that time. But at another time, the Savior said, do you remember when I sent you out with any of these things to depend on? Yes. He said, well, things are different now. I want you to take all these things now that I told you not to take then. And so if someone stands up and says, we need faith today to carry out Matthew 10 and go forth with nothing, then that is not an understanding of the times. That is a misunderstanding of the times. You have to know what time it is. The Lord Jesus said to the nation of Israel, if you had known even this in this day, the things that belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Here is Israel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the Savior said, if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. And they would be praying, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. And the Lord Jesus said, you do not realize it, but I am here in the midst of you, and the kingdom is come. They had not that understanding. How sad. But what we can do is this. Obey the scriptures. From the scriptures, learn what time it is. It says in Romans 13, knowing the time, the time. It's not the same today as it was yesterday. Some things should change, but some things should not change. Now, what I'm going to do is to show you different times and give you an answer to those who would say the Bible is full of contradictions. Why? Because you have different instructions for one time than you do for another time. But the worldling cannot see that there are different times and that what was spoken for this time is inappropriate for another time. And so, for that reason, turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Notice that these men had an understanding of the times, not just one time, but an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Now, here is what Jeremiah is instructed from the Lord in chapter 29. It says this, verse 1, now, These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders of the captivity, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all the captivity whom I have caused to be carried away captive from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build you houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. Take you wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, and multiply you there, and be not diminished, and seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets that are in the midst of you and your diviners deceive you, neither hearken ye to their dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, after 70 years are accomplished for Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in your latter end. Now, understand, God has spoken of a specific time. And whereas God said, this is the time, and these are the conditions that are to prevail, there were false prophets and dreamers who were fighting against this message that came from God. And this was God's message. Here are some that would be filled with zeal. Let us go back now and begin to build the temple. Do you not understand that the most important thing in the world is building the temple? God said, it is not the time to build the temple, and it's not going to be built for 70 years. I told you that there was going to be a captivity for 70 years. Well, what am I to do? Then, few of us, when we are in our 20s or 30s, live more than 70 additional years. And so it means that we are to remain in the city to which we were carried captive, and we are to marry and give in marriage and have children and plant gardens and live out our lives without a temple in which to worship. And some people said, this cannot be of God, but it was of God. And those of Issachar, if they lived at that time, they would have an understanding and say, Amen, Jeremiah. This is the will of God. We have sinned, and we must bear the penalty of our sin by not having a temple for 70 years. Do you understand? Now, God wanted the children of Israel to go into the promised land. But when they sinned and said, we cannot go in, we are grasshoppers in the sight of all those giants in the land. God said, I have heard what you say, and you are not going into the land. Anyone that is 20 and above shall die in the wilderness. And they said they could not go into the land. And God said, then you're not going into the land. And they rose up and said, we will go into the land. They did not understand that when the judgment of God fell, this is what God says. He consumed their lives in vanity. And that is what's going to happen to us. If we commit such and such a sin, then you might want to do something for God, but God said, you're not going to do it. Any fellowship that you have with me will be wandering in the wilderness until your dead bodies fall in the wilderness, because I have decreed this. And so what would be the wisdom for the time? To enjoy God to the full, with the understanding that you would never get into the promised land because you had sinned. And this sin would not be altered by even the mercy of God. In like manner, in Jeremiah's day, they had sinned, and this was what had happened. They were to observe not only every seventh day, but every seventh year was a sabbatical year. And they were to treat the land as they treated the Sabbath day. They were to treat the land and not sow, leave it, let it lie fallow. But what happened was this. They disregarded the seventh year. They disregarded it for 490 years. And 7 into 490 goes 70 times. And God said, I told you to give me every seventh year. You didn't give it to me for 490 years. He said, now I'm going to take it. And you'll be held captive for 70 years. And your temple will be destroyed. And so God sends them a letter. He says, now that you've experienced this, but it's so much better than wandering in the wilderness. For this reason, God said, plant gardens, eat the fruit thereof, have children, do not be diminished. He said, in 70 years, all will be well. And so what does it mean? Had we lived at that time, and it was my age, then I would know that I would never see the temple of God built. Because if in 586 it was destroyed, then it would only be built in 516, long after I had been dead and gone. And I must acknowledge that and accept it, and then live out my life in as much fellowship as I could with God without a temple for those 70 years. You see? That was wisdom and understanding for that time. But now, if you are able to find it, if you have this much wisdom, find the book of Haggai. Haggai, chapter 1, look at verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, it is not the time for us to come, the time for the Lord's house to be built. Excellent words had they been spoken in Jeremiah 29. That was 586. That was the period when Jeremiah had a letter and he wrote it to those of the captivity. But this is the year 520, just 4 years before that temple is to be built. And yet the people had so fallen into the ease of marrying and giving in marriage and planting gardens and eating the fruit thereof that now the only thing they know when God's message comes and says, now, the promise that I made to you 70 years ago, it's ready to be fulfilled. But listen to what people said in verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, it is not the time for us to come, the time for the Lord's house to be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your sealed houses, while this house lieth waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. And he goes down and shows them why. Because what was obedience in Jeremiah 29 is disobedience now. And you must have men of understanding of the times, to know what the people of God must do. I thank God for Jeremiah. God had told him, Jeremiah, inform the people that Nebuchadnezzar is going to be victorious over Israel and they're going to be taken captive for 70 years. And when Jeremiah told the people these words, they cried out, traitor! And they wanted to put him to death. But they were the words of God. And then Jeremiah had to tell them, 70 years you are to live in captivity, and when the 70 years of judgment are past, then this is the hope. And now, this is my new message. Isn't that remarkable? That some might want to go and build a temple in Jeremiah 29. It was wrong. But now, some would refer to Jeremiah 29 and say, Don't you know that God told us to build houses, to plant gardens, to have children, not to be diminished? Don't you know what the Bible says? Yes, I know what the Bible says in Jeremiah 29 and 586, but I also know what the Word of God says in 520 B.C. And then you are not to take up the cry, it's not the time to build the house of the Lord. And God retorts, is it time to build your own houses with ceilings, with elaborate, luxurious things? And so they would say, yes. And God said, understand the consequences of doing this now. You sow much, you reap little. And he goes on and lays before them the vanity of their lives. And Haggai and Zechariah were the two prophets that God used. They were men of understanding to prod them on to understand the time in which they lived. And then the times had changed. But now we evidently have no understanding of the times because for no scriptural reason we are prepared to act out Jeremiah 29 or Haggai 1 or anything that we want to because there is no time. Now, this is a scripture I will bring to your attention. Turn to 1 Corinthians 7. I'm going to show you the contradiction of the lives of all of you who have this message upon your lips. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at verse 26. I think, therefore, that this is good by reason of the distress that is upon us, namely, that it is good for a man to be as he is. Look down at verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is shortened, that henceforth both those that have wives may be as though they had none, and those that weep as though they wept not, and those that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and those that buy as though they possess not, and those that use the world as not using it to the full, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you to be free from cares. Every one of you that says, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, he may come, he may come. Then, this is the time. If you are sure it's the time, then start living this way. Then, if you are married, be as though you had no wife. If you possess, as if you did not possess. All of these things are laid before you. Why? Because if you know from God and you're a man of understanding, the Lord is going to come in my lifetime. He may come. I feel the coming of the Lord is right. Then this is the message for you. Then if you have a wife, you act as if you did not have a wife. And if you weep as though you wept not. And if you rejoice as though you rejoice not. And those that buy as though they possess not. Do you not understand that if you are preaching one specific doctrine, then you must conform your life to that doctrine that you're preaching. Like this man said, I think the Lord's coming today. Well, where are you going? Well, I'm going downtown to have a new house built. I see. You're going to have a new house built and the Lord's coming today. Oh, yes, I feel it. Don't you see the contradiction to that? Now, if you can say, God has informed me, as he informed Peter, he says, the time of the putting off of my body is drawing nigh. Peter knew that he would not be one who, when the Lord descended from heaven with a shout, would be changed without dying. He knew that. And so, if you know that the Lord isn't going to come, well, go ahead and build a house. But if you know that the Lord is going to come, that is a contradiction to build a house. You have no understanding of the times. If you do, come and tell me, and then I'll sell mine quickly. As Welcome Detweiler once said, he told this Jewish man with whom he was riding on one occasion, he was talking about the coming of the Lord, and he said, and if the Lord comes, he said to this Jewish man, he said, you can have my farm. And the Jewish man said, but you put that in writing. Now, that was fine. And so if you know that the Lord is coming, you may have my car, my home, anything you want, because I'm going to be gone. I won't have any need of it anymore. But until I know that from the Lord, and I get a message as from Jeremiah or Haggai, then I'm going to live in a moderate way, and I'm not going to say that the things that are written in Jeremiah 29 are to be obeyed, and I'm not going to say the things in Haggai 1 are going to be obeyed. I'm going to have an understanding of the times, and I'm going to conform my life to the time in which I live. Now, I've given you men of wisdom. Let me speak with what wisdom I have as to the time in which we live, because evidently all those that are my peers round about are saying this, that this is the time to change. Now, in my wisdom, I say, if you mean it is the time to abandon all the encrusted traditions that are not of the Word, but are man's making, to get away from all of those things, amen, yes, let us reject them, cast them off. But if you are telling me that it is the time to change these sacred foundational things that I have been taught for over 40 years, and they are scriptural, and I've never seen that God said they are going to be altered, I reject your wisdom and all of these changes that you are demanding. Do you not understand that? Do you not understand that now the sacredness of marriage is going to be changed? The Lord's Supper, it's not important anymore. The breaking of bread, why, that's a secondary thing. Baptism, the woman's covering, all of these things are secondary. And this is what grieves me, that some speak of these things, and they say they are secondary matters. Well, let us say this about the covering of a woman, if it were secondary. I have given messages on it to show you that it's primary. But inasmuch as it causes division, do away with it. And at the same time, baptism, there is so much controversy about it, do away with it. And now the Lord's Supper that used to be sacred to us and had the preeminent place, this is what I find. People are not coming to it. They don't enjoy it. So what we'll do is to take it from here and tack it on here. And so if there are any of those that hang on to a relic of the past, well, then we'll have this little remembrance feast at a time that isn't inconvenient to other people, and let them come and remember the Lord. I say that I am ashamed of those who have rejected their heritage that has been passed down to us from the first quarter of the 1800s. To think of that, that men searched the scriptures and found out about the oneness of the body of Christ, about the coming of the Lord, about the establishing of His kingdom, about the sacredness of gathering together on the first day of the week to remember our Savior. And now, those things that were so sacred and that made them distinct from all the others, all of those things now are secondary. The Bible says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Baptism is no secondary thing. It's a primary thing. And at the same time, the Savior said, this do in remembrance of me. And it's continued until He comes. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. And yet now we say, well, it was important, but people do not appreciate it now. And it is a weariness. And for that reason, we will relegate it or we will forget it. And so it is with so many of the doctrines. I say in my wisdom that the time will never come when these things that I've mentioned are secondary and are of no importance. And the Bible says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and will turn away from the truth. And so let me tell you about your heritage and the things that are sacred and that are precious in God's Word, that even those among us are saying they are secondary. They are not of importance today. The important thing is, and then they will tell you things that do seem ever so attractive in the eyes of man and in my eyes as well, and yet to accomplish their means, there is a departure and a giving up of all of those things that we hold sacred. So, at one time, there were 200 men of understanding that had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. By God's grace, may 200 men be raised up among us today that have an understanding of the times to know what we, people of God, ought to do. Let us pray. Our Father, We thank you for every truth in addition to salvation that thou hast given to us, that we've treasured over the years. Lord, let us understand the distinction between the traditions of men and those things that are of you, apostolic doctrine, and those things that are from God that are to be carried on until your Son comes, that are of primary importance. Let us not be deceived. We see that when Jeremiah was speaking one truth, there were those other prophets that were speaking different truths. So help us, Father, to be faithful to thy word, not to be a follower of traditions of men, not to cling to things that are of no importance, but if it is thus saith the Lord, let us never be moved from them. Father, let us be among those who have an understanding of the times to know what we, the people of God, ought to do. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.